We're in the second week of a sermon series called God's Invitation to Learn, where we are looking at different doctrines of the Christian faith. And today the doctrines are justification and sanctification. And when I said that to the women's Bible study on Wednesday morning, they all looked at me like I was crazy. One of them said, "Those are the hardest doctrines in the whole Christian church." And I said, "Well, wait, I'm doing the Trinity next week." But to help us understand these doctrines, we're going to take a look at Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14. I'm going to read those in two different parts, read this in two different sections. Jesus is speaking. "Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, "Tell those who have been invited, look, I've prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find into the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, so the wedding hall was filled with guests." So the king is throwing a wedding for his son, and he wants to make sure that every last seat is filled. He tells his slaves to go out and get all the invitees and tell them that the spread is ready. Some of them make excuses. Some of them commit an act of high treason by killing the king's servants. So the king does what kings back in those days would have done in that very violent time. He killed those that had killed his slaves. But he's not finished. He wants to make sure that these seats are all filled. So he sends more slaves out and says, "Come on, bring them in. We want every single seat filled." So the king is like, "Yes, yes, yes, I want every single seat filled." But then as we turn to the rest of the story, he seems to be saying, "No, no, no." Here are verses 11 through 14. "But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So the king is, "Yep, I want all of you to come into the banquet except you. I don't want you to come into the banquet." He sure seems like a confusion king, right? Yes, 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 come into the banquet. No, 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 get out of the banquet. But before we land on that moniker for him, that he's the confusion king, I want to take a closer look at this parable and see if we might notice something different than we see at first blush. We'll take a closer look and maybe see what this parable tells us about God. And then once we figure out what it tells us about God, maybe we can figure out what it tells us about us. And to help us get our minds around that, I want to tell you about a real live royal wedding. I was in Madrid about 15 years ago when the crown prince, who is now the king, but was then the crown prince, when he was married. The whole thing cost about $30 million. $30 million for civic improvements, for security, for the banquet, decorations, all of that. So any of you parents in here who are worried and complaining about your child's wedding costs, at least it's not $30 million. So $30 million, and I was staying at my friend Antonio's house. He's Spanish. And Tony does not like the monarchy, which meant he did not like the fact that his tax money was going into this $30 million pool for this wedding. And so when the big day came, he could not have been more excited that it was raining. And he was there yelling, I can picture him in the living room of his apartment. He was yelling at the TV, he was yelling at the king, yelling at the prince, yelling at the princess, yelling at me. He was just so worked up about the whole thing. Well, it came out a little bit later that there was this German prince, this is true, there was this German prince who got so drunk the night before that he did not show up for the wedding. Now that's true. Now imagine it with me if the king had said, gosh, we've spent $30 million on this wedding. We can't have a single seat empty. We've got to have every single seat full. And so he sent out his servants, his court, to go find somebody else to come in. And then what if Tony and I heard a knock on the door and they were there ready to take Antonio to that seat in the wedding? Well, I don't think if the king of Spain knew how much Tony had been complaining about that wedding, he would have picked Tony to go into that ceremony. I think if the king of Spain knew how much Tony was celebrating the rain, he would have picked me to go into that wedding instead of Tony. But that's the way the king of Spain is. But that's not the way the King of Heaven is. The King of Heaven wants everyone to come into the banquet. It doesn't matter what your attitude is. It doesn't matter whether you're bad-mouthing the circumstances. It doesn't matter what your life looks like. The King of Heaven wants every single person to come into the banquet. And the thing is that the King of Heaven does not expect us to get our life together before we're invited to come into the banquet, it's grace. The King of Heaven wants us to come in no matter who we are, no matter what we've done. That's the King of Heaven. And when we do that, when we accept God's invitation to come into the banquet, when we put our faith in Christ, when we understand who we are in God's eyes and how much God loves us, and we claim Christ as our Lord, then we're made right with God. And that's called justification, that when God looks at us, God sees us as if we are as sinless as Jesus. Now, we're not, but God sees us as if we're as sinless as Jesus. In fact, you might think of an easy way to think about what justification means is justified, like it's just if I'd never sinned. Just if I'd never sinned. The word justification, when God looks at us, God sees us as if we have never sinned, that we are just like Jesus. That's justification. So when we accept God's invitation to the banquet, we're justified. But the thing is, we don't get to accept the invitation to the banquet on our own terms. We accept the invitation to the banquet on God's terms. I mean, let's go back to Tony for a second. They're knocked on the door. They say, hey, we want you to come down to the wedding. And Tony says, oh, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready right now. Well, I can tell you that Tony was not ready right then. He was in his pajamas. I think he had a fleece hoodie over himself. He had not shaved. He had certainly not drug a comb across his hair. There was no way that he was ready. But Tony says, well, if they want me there so bad, I could just go the way I am. No reason to get into a tux, no reason to shave, no reason to shower. If they want me there so bad, I can just come exactly as I am. Well, you can imagine how that would go over at the cathedral when he gets there. Because when we accept an invitation to a royal wedding, we don't do it on our terms. We do it on the king's terms. And so when we accept an invitation to be in a relationship with Christ, to be justified so that when God sees us, we do that with the expectation from God that our lives, no matter where they are now, that over time they will look more and more like Jesus's. That's called sanctification, that it's the process of becoming more and more like Jesus. You might call it saintification. You're becoming more and more saintly, more and more like Jesus. And sanctification happens over time. God does work. We don't have to like grit our teeth and try as hard as we can to do it. But we do work too. It's not like we could just sit back and watch God magically make us into becoming more like Jesus. So we work, and God works, and we're sanctified. So justification and sanctification go hand in hand, and I want to talk a little bit about it how just now. So let's imagine that up here is a continuum. On this side are the most holy people you can ever imagine. So like Mother Teresa, pick your favorite pope, Tom Tropp, Christy Finley is sitting on the right side, even though you can't see her. So people like that, the most holy people you can ever imagine are on this side. And over here, sorry, Mike, but over here are like the most vile people that you can, over here are the most vile people that you can ever imagine. So Hitler, you know, serial killers, people like that. You all can decide if you want to change sides for next Sunday, but let's just imagine for now, the holiest people are over here and the least holy people are over here. Now here's the thing, when we're justified, when we accept God's invitation to the banquet, it's just if I'd never sinned. So, oh, by the way, where's Jesus on this? Jesus is way this way, right? Way, 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 and this way is south, right? Is this way south? Yeah, so Jesus is like way down in Chicago someplace. About so holy, so much more holy than even Christy Finley. So Jesus is way down there. And the thing is, when we put our faith in Christ, God sees us as if we are that holy, as if we are that sinless. So God doesn't see us wherever we are on this continuum. We're all someplace. God sees us as if we are as holy as Jesus, way down there. But the thing is, we're still somewhere on this continuum. We're not actually there. So sanctification is the process of moving and becoming more and more like Jesus. So moving in this direction. For some people, when they put their faith in Christ, you hear stories about people that put their faith in Christ and it's just this huge jump where in the first few weeks they become so much more like Jesus. But for most of us, it's a two-step forward, one-step back, one step forward, two step back process that takes months and years until we become more and more like Jesus. So that's sanctification, moving in that direction. Justification is when God looks at us and sees us as if we are as sinless as Christ. The Christian mystic Thomas Merton says, in some ways, we are still traveling, and in some ways, we have already arrived. So in some ways, we have already arrived. We are already seen as if we are as sinless as Jesus, but in some ways, we are still traveling in this way, step by step by step. Now, I said earlier, we would take a look at whether this confusion king who says yes, 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 and then no, 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 if he really is as confused as he seems in the first place. And he's not. He's not, because justification and sanctification come together. The kind of faith that when we receive the invitation and we accept our invitation to come into the banquet, we do so under God's expectations, under the king's expectations, not under ours. And that means our lives look more and more like Jesus's. So someone that comes into the wedding without changing his clothes is trying to accept that invitation on his terms, not on God's. If we just go and say we believe in Christ but our lives don't change, it's more like just lip service rather than being the kind of faith that saves us. Let's imagine a new continuum here now. Take away the holy to the unholy, and let's make it the most fit. So like Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, like Simone Biles, that amazing Olympic gymnast over here. Over here is like the least, sorry, Mike. Mike's drawn the short straw today. But over here on the other side is like the least fit person you can imagine. Now, I want to tell you, this is true, I've signed up to run a race, a 10K, the weekend before Memorial Day. And so I tell you, I believe that getting in shape is the most helpful thing I can do. Getting in shape is the most helpful thing I can do to prepare for that race. I believe that with all my heart. And that's why I set my alarm early every day so that I can go to race, but then I hit the snooze button not once, not twice, somewhere between 3 and 10 times. But I believe that getting in shape is so important to me. And that's why I go to the gym every day, to sit in the sauna. But I believe that it's really important to get into shape. And that's why when I go to McDonald's, I intend to get a salad, but they say, "Are you having 3 Big Macs again today, Chip?" And I say, "Yes." But I tell you, I really believe that getting in shape is the most important thing that I can do. Now, if all that were fully true instead of partially true, you would tell me that you don't really believe getting in shape is the most important thing in your life. You'd say that's just lip service. And the kind of faith that saves us, the kind of faith that actually justifies us, is the kind of faith that moves us in this direction. So if we think we're justified, we think that when we put our faith in Christ, we're justified and God sees us as sinless as Christ, but if our lives keep moving in this direction, step by step by step, maybe we're not as justified as we think. Remember, James says that faith without works is dead. So when we think about it, it's not that so often it's the king who says yes, 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 and then no, no, no. Often it's us. We say yes, yes, yes with our lips, but then no, no, no with our lives. See, justification and sanctification go together. We don't get to accept the invitation to the banquet on our own terms. We have to accept it on God's terms. And God's terms are that over time, over the course of our lives, we look more and more like Jesus. The problem is not that we're somewhere on this continuum when we put our faith in Christ. The problem is if we're not moving this way over the course of our lives. Jesus says if we want to get into the banquet, we have to accept the invitation. We need to be justified. He says if we want to get into the banquet, we can't do it on our own terms. We have to do it on the king's terms. We need to be sanctified. Justification and sanctification go together. That's why the king's not the confusion king. And when we have a saving faith, neither are we. So let us pray. Oh God, we thank you so much that you welcome us into the banquet and you strengthen us to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Equip us, oh God, that we would move in Jesus' direction, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we would accept your invitation, not on our terms, but on yours. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.